If you have your Bible, take it and turn to Isaiah chapter number 2. Isaiah chapter number 2. The Bible says, verse number 1 said, "The word of Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord." I want to look at just a little bit for this evening. And we wonder what in the world is going on. And man, you see things all around us, and sometimes we begin to wonder why things are happening the way that they are. But I want to give you just a little news flash. God said it'd be this way. Amen? It's nothing to get upset or excited about. It's just God working in a marvelous way that God does, praise God, to manifest Himself to a lost and a dying world, that folks might be compelled to come in. Isaiah here is talking about the last days. And I want to preach on this just a minute if God will help us. In the last days. Amen. Praise God. God lays it out so many different places. God talks to us about the last days. Change of events. Things that's going to take place before the coming of the Messiah, before Jesus Christ comes again. Amen. And we ought to all be looking for Him to come at any minute. I mean, this thing is playing out. It's just like it's been kicked into hope and into hyperdrive, and things is happening all around us, all around the world, actually. Praise God, even for God's glory. Say, how can it be for God's glory? Because God Almighty, His Word, prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. It's more accurate than today's newspaper. A whole lot more accurate, but Bobby, than most of today's newspapers. Because this is the Word of God, and it will be filled according to His plan. We see this here as He's speaking, and He's addressing in the last days, and He's talking about that mountain of the Lord's house. Now, when He talks about that, He's talking about a kingdom age. Amen? When the glory of God will be established, and it's going to be established in the last days. Now, when's that going to take place? It's going to take place at the conversion of the Gentiles in the last days. When the Gentile, praise God, when this thing's fulfilled, it's going to take place, praise God, at the Lord Jesus Christ returns when He comes. Amen, praise God. At the end of this present age that we live in. Now, we're living in the age of the dispensation of grace. Praise God. But that's coming to an end here before long, praise God. The dispensation grace is going to end. The church is going to go out of here to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself will be coming back after the tribulation to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. A lot of people don't believe that. They say, well, that's just prophetic stuff. He's not really going to happen. It has to happen because He said that He would sit on the throne of His father David, which was a literal throne here on earth. Don't you let nobody tell you that Jesus ain't coming back. Because if He's not coming back, then He's the biggest liar that ever was. Because He told us that He's coming back. The angels of heaven, those witnesses, told us He was coming back. Said, just as you see Him going away, He's coming again. Amen. I'm looking for a soon coming Savior, ain't you? I'm excited about the coming of my Savior. We're looking for that. Amen. We're looking for a kingdom of God. Praise God. That'll be exalted. Look at verse number 2. He says, shall come pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted. Now watch this. Above the hills and all nations shall flow unto it. He said, so there's coming a time that there's a kingdom that's going to be exalted higher than any kingdom that's ever been. Now kingdoms have been set up and rulers have ruled and reigned here on this earth, in this world. They're doing it today all over the place. We have potentates all over the world that's a ruling today. But he said, there's coming one, a great potentate, who's going to sit on the mountain, Zion. They're talking about Mount Moriah, praise God. It's what it is. That's what Zion is. A place where Abraham went to offer up Isaac, praise God, to God Almighty, to that great mountain, the one that God told him about. He said, a mountain that I'll show you. He said, it's a special place. And one day in a little while, it's going to be a special place unto the Lord. It's going to get really good over there. Amen. Now I tell you, there's something special about that place. We've been there a couple times. I've been there a couple times. Boy, I tell you, I'd like to go back. Yeah, glory, hallelujah. One day I'm going to go back with my Savior. Be there with Jesus. Amen. In the presence of my Lord. What a day that's going to be. But he's talking about these hills. He's exalted above the hills. He said, all the nations. Now he's talking about these Gentile nations. Now, you got to remember, the Gentile nations versus the people of Jehovah, which is Israel. Amen? God deals with Israel in a special way. He deals with them in a unique way. Now, we've got the people in the world today that's trying to tell us that Israel's no longer significant, that through replacement theology, that through replacement theology, that the church has taken the place of Israel. That could be no farther from the truth. Amen. People try to tell you that. They're trying to get us away from a focus and a truth of the Word of God, because if you stay with the truth, you can't believe that for a second. Amen. Because Israel, Brother Bobby, is God's timepiece. Amen. For over 2,000 years, that clock wasn't ticking. But praise God, in May of 1948, praise God, that clock began to tick again. And Israel became established in the nation of Israel, in the land of Israel. And God began to move upon them, praise God. And we see how God's moving. He said, all these nations, he's talking about the nations of the world, praise God. All the nations shall flow unto it. Amen. All of them. There won't be anybody that won't. Everybody will be wanting a little piece of this glory. Everybody's going, hey, oh, we ought to want it now. Or just go ahead and get it now, praise God, while we can. And their primary concern, praise God, was for the surviving Gentiles, amen, the ones that survived, to come through the Holocaust of the tribulation, will be to discover the will of God. Look at verse number 3. It said, many people shall go. Now, that many people literally means nations. Amen. Many nations shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. That's Mount Moriah. That's the mountain of God. Amen. And to the house of the God of Jacob. Say, they want to discover things. They want to get close to God. They want to see God. They want to realize what God is, who God is, what God would like to have them to do. Amen. Boy, if we could get in that same mindset today to just want to know what God would have us to do, so we could draw nigh to Him and begin to get the comfort from the Comforter, the great Comforter, praise God, and the perspectives that He has for might lined up for His children. Amen. Just a little young. Hey, you realize you're just a little young and just a child of God. Amen. He loves you, cares for you. He's here to help you if we'll let Him. But you got to want to let Him. So they come to discover the will of God. To do it, praise God. To do His will. Amen. So the word go out and come to the Lord. Amen. So that word would go out. That the word would go out to the people there, and so they could come to the Lord, so that they could get in. He said that, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So the word will go out. He said they wanted to figure out what God was. They want the word to go out so that people can get in. They're realizing that this thing, he said, in these last days, is something that hasn't taken place yet, but it will. And he said, we want people to start getting in. He said, I want to see people, praise God, see the magnificent power of God. Amen. The law out of Zion, praise God. The revelation of God and godliness and God's will for His people. That's what He's trying to paint us a picture of. Amen. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. And he's talking to the people, the Jews, and he's talking to the Gentiles, praise God, that's come out. Amen. So he's literally talking about a Hebrew Christian revelation. Now, it may not mean a whole lot to you if you haven't kind of kept up with the things that's going on. But the Even the news media today tells us that there's something going on in different places, and there's something going on in Zion, especially in the young people in Zion. The Hebrews, praise God, the Jews are being encouraged and they're beginning to unite with Christians. Christians and Jews are coming together in a magnificent a conference that's never been before. And they begin to realize that they kind of sort of need each other. And that they have some things in common. Amen. Can you see how God's fixing these pieces together? Making it possible to know the Lord. In verse number 7, he tells Jehovah himself, amen, he'll impose a righteous rule. Verse number 4 said, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. Amen. So there's going to be a Jehovah, he's going to have a righteous rule in this world. Amen. This earth which we live, people don't want to believe that. Because they don't want, because people don't want nobody to be in total control of their lives. I tell you, on the contrary, youngs, I'd like to have Jesus to have total control of my life. He knows more about me, Brother Kevin. He knows what we need more than we do. And he can make things happen for us that we can't make happen for ourselves. He wants control of us. He wants to help us. He wants to manifest himself to us. He wants to show us his goodness, his mercy, and his love. But the Bible tells us here in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, that he's going to practice justice. And he's going to practice fairness. There's never been one that's as just as God. There's never been one that's as fair as the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just and fair in all his dealings. And he's going to practice that justice and that fairness. To the very point of it, he tells us here that when it's all said and done, watch what he says in the rest of this verse. He said, and he shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So he said, the just God and a righteous God, a fair God, praise God, he's going to put down, there'll be no international strife no more. Can you imagine that? There'll be no more North Korea threatening to harm people. There'll be no more Russia and China. There'll be nobody else that's wanting to harm each other. He's going to bring about a peace, praise God, in this world. Why? Because there'll be no aggressor nations. Amen? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, himself will rule and reign supreme. The Bible says he'll rule with a rod of iron. Amen? There's no contradicting. Praise God. He will rule. He will have the final say. Amen. Glory to God. Won't that be something? He said these people be beating the swords and the plowshares. Amen. That all these nations will be dwelling together in peace. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the utopia of a world that could live in peace one with another? With somebody that's perfect in perfect peace, helping us to realize what it is? The joy of having peace, not only with other nations, but in homes and families and houses and churches and places, praise God, where we can join together, praise God, with the Lord, can have the perfect peace of God. Amen? Praise God. There'll be no appeal, praise God, for arms or violence. There'll be none of that. It'll be done away with. Praise God. We won't need it no more. We won't desire it no more. All those ambitions, we might say selfish ambitions, will be taken away. And our desire will be toward the Lord. Amen. All of government, all of it will be governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be the head potentate. Amen. The weapons of war, praise God, will be tools of peace. Amen. Tools of economic prosperity. Glory to God. We'll go back to plowing the fields and planting the crops and living off, praise God, the land. Blessing God for what he's supplying for us. Praise the Lord. So what is he talking about? He's talking about a millennial kingdom. He's talking about characteristics, praise God, of a warless society. where there'll be no more wars, there'll be no more conflict. Because if it starts to rise up, He's going to nip it in the bud quick, fast, and in a hurry. Amen? Praise God. And think about it. The devil is going to be restrained. There's going to be no presence of the devil. He's cast into the bottomless pit where he'll be for 1,000 years during the millennial reign. He's going to be bound up. So God will be able to have a perfect peace. Praise God, that we see taking place. Amen? You say, we can believe that because it's prophecy, because it's been, the Bible is of no, Peter said the Bible is of no private interpretation. If he says it in Isaiah chapter 2, but he said it somewhere else, he said it many other places. It was predicted from the very beginning. Amen? Go back in your Bible, go back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 24. Just give you some of these right quickly. Numbers chapter 24. Remember a fellow by the name of Balaam? Amen. The Arab Balaam. Amen. He got messed up. He was trying to be prosperous. And he kind of he wanted to do something for Balak, the king, but they wouldn't let him. Every time he told him to prophesy against Israel, he prophesied for Israel. You remember the story? And Balaam begins to speak. And listen to what he says in Numbers chapter 24, verse 15. Verse 15. Now he's speaking here of a kingdom. And it's not just any kingdom. It's going to lead up to a messianic kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this is plumb back in the book of Numbers. And he's going to predict this. He's going to lay it out for us so that we can see it. Verse 15, he says, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and a man whose eyes are open hath said, and he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the visions of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but now watch this, but having his eyes open. He said, so here I was, and God was speaking to me. He said, it's me, it's Balaam, it's son of Beor. Praise God. He said, and I was there with my eyes wide open. I knew what was going on. I was communicating with God. God was communicating through me. Praise the Lord. And he said, I saw it clearly. He said, this is what I see. He said, and I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. Do you see what Balaam's prophesying here? He sees in this prophecy, as a seer, he sees a generation of the Lord, of the King David, that David would rise up. That's that not now. Or in other words, it's not yet. But he said, it's coming. He said, there's coming a man that God's going to rise up, and God's going to make him king. Praise God. God's going to manifest himself through him, and we'll see him, praise God, as somebody from God. Amen. But then he says, hey, somebody else, he said, there's going to be a final redemption. He said, but it's not nigh. He said, it's not going to happen soon. He said, it's going to happen on down the road a ways. He said, but we're going to see it. He said, so we're going to see a king, but not now. He said, we're not yet. He said, we're going to see a king, but not right, but not real soon. See, what we see here in verse 17 is a double vision. Amen. This prophet didn't only have a vision, he had a double vision. Amen. He was seeing twice what God, praise God, what anybody else could even suppose or think to see. He saw the rise of David, praise God, a warrior king. Amen. He saw David coming, praise God. He said, not now, but he's coming. They's coming a warrior king. They's coming a king with power and might and as a warrior for God. That was King David. Praise God. He said, he's a coming. And he seen the emergence, praise God, the eventual emergence of a messianic kingdom. The kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ, where God brings justice to earth through strength and through power. Amen. Through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you thought about everything that people saying now? What we're hearing echoed? Peace through strength. That's what we're, I mean, they're just echoing that. Every day on the media and every day on the radio, we're hearing them. It's peace through strength. It's peace through strength. It's not peace through weakness. You don't get peace through weakness. He said we get peace through strength. He said there's a strong one a-coming. Praise God. When He comes, He's going to rule and reign. Glory be to God. What a blessing that's going to be. Amen. So we see the double vision of David the warrior. We see the double vision of the messianic kingdom that's coming, that God's promised to establish judgment on earth through His awesome power. That's Bible. It's coming, youngins. We need to be ready. Amen. It'd be terrible to miss the boat. Because you miss the boat, you're going to be left here, praise God, through the tribulation, through the awfulest time this world has ever known. Amen. There'll be no peace. There'll be no joy. It'll just be a heartache and misery. Amen. And death. And death. Amen. But He said Israel's going to shake up things. The whole foundation is going to be shaken. He said even all the children of Seth. Amen. All the children of Seth. Look what He says. Verse number 17. He said, I shall see him, but not now. Shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. All the children of Seth. He's talking about an impact on all the children of Seth. An impact on all the human race. The whole human race, praise God, is going to see an impact from God. Amen. Nobody will be exempt. We're seeing a vision of a global transformation, youngins. Amen. We're seeing a vision of a global transformation. It's what this seer was seeing, what Balaam was seeing, praise God. God wouldn't let him see nothing else. Praise God. God was manifesting Himself. He was allowing him to see the glory of God manifest, played out. Down through thousands of years. Did he know it would be this long? The thing about Balaam, he didn't set no timetable. You know, a false prophet is by one that would set dates. Amen? Balaam was he was messed up. It was the heir of Balaam because he used his authority, he used his ability to cause Israel to err. You know the story. He couldn't prophesy against Israel. But when it's all said and done, he sent word to Balak and said, hey, listen, all you need to do is take and intermingle with these other peoples to where it begins to degrade the nation of Israel and to break down their morals and their convictions. That's the way the devil's still working today. He hasn't changed his tactics not one bit. He's still tearing up and tearing down and destroying. Amen. We see it every day in every aspect of our lives. But we see a vision of a global transformation, praise God, that's coming. Amen. It's just down the pike. He begins to lay this out, how he's going to destroy. He said, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Amen. He said there's going to be a destroying force that's going to come out of Jacob. Now Jacob is Israel. And he said that destroying force, God's going to empower them to decimate their enemies. Amen. I don't find that hard to believe. We've seen them in the Six-Day War. They took everything. I mean, they beat back armies that was 20 and 30 times their size or more. And that's on each side. God did that. But he said he's going to use this little nation of Israel, praise God. God's going to get glory and God's going to transform, praise God. It's going to be a global transformation, praise God, for the glory of God. They're going to use this little body of believers. That's what he's doing today through me and you. He's using a little body of believers, me and you, praise God, to impact the world. Amen. We have that opportunity every day to impact the world that we live in, to impact the people that we come in contact with. Hey, you may be the only one that can communicate with these people and touch them, to help them, to change them. Amen? So we see this thing played out as God begins to lay it out in a specific way in His Word. We see it right down to the day and the hour, Brother Jamie, that we live right now. Have you ever thought about what's happening over in Iran? Did God ever say anything about that little place? He said specifically about that little place. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 49. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse number 34. Now God's laying out His plan. He's laying out His purpose and how He's going into these different kingdoms and He's taking care of business, if you will. Amen? How He's prophesied that He's taking care of business and He's going to take care of business. And then we come to this little nation in verse 34. This little nation by the name of Elam. You ever heard of the name Elam? That was a little nation that was called Elam, then it was called Persia, then it was called Iran. Little nation of Iran. And the Bible says this in Jeremiah 49 about the nation of Iran. And the word of God that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah king of Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam and the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four corners of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no nation, whether the outcast of Elam shall not come." Amen. He said He's going to scatter them out all over the world. God said, "I'm going to mess with that little nation." Praise God. He said, "I'm going to use the nation of Israel, and I'm going to scatter them out. I'm going to drive them out. I'm going to get rid of them once and for all." He's going to preach that time during the time of Zedekiah. That's already happened. That's come to pass. No, the time of Zedekiah has come to pass, but this time of dealing with Elam hasn't come to pass yet. But God's working on it. Amen. God is working on it. Right before our eyes, young, we're seeing these prophecies being fulfilled today. Glory, hallelujah. Get ready, we're going home. Amen. Praise God. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said, verse 37, said, "For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. And I bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them." Now look what he says here, how he lays this out. He said, "I'll break the bow of Elam," verse number 35. Amen. "The Ayatollahs, the ones that's in control." Amen. "And the chief of their might. The ones that's in power, the ones that's afflicting all the wickedness, all the anguish, even upon their own people." And God said, "Oh, they're coming today, it's going to be enough. And I'm going to deal with that." Amen. He said, just be looking for it. Look what he says on down here, verse 37. He said, "I'll cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. And I bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them." Now watch 38. "And I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord." He said, "I'm going to take him, the Ayatollahs and those that's in power and in charge and in control. And so I'm going to take the head politicians that's egging them on and rooting them on." And God said, "I'm going to come in with a devastation force. I praise God. I'm going to bust them up, bust them apart." Kind of like in fall turkey season when you go out there and them turkeys all gathered up and they won't call. You can't get them to come. But what you do, you go out there and you find a flock of them. And Brother Chris, you just run in amongst them. You can shout and scream and holler, and boy, they'll just bust up and fly all different directions. And then you go right there in the middle and you can sit down and begin to cluck and to purr, and they'll come back in." Amen. God said, "I'm going to do them like a flock of turkeys." Praise God. He said, "I'm going to go bust them up. I'm going to call and I'm going to take out those leaders." Amen. But God is merciful and compassionate. Our God. Amen. He's a merciful and compassionate God. When's He going to do this? You know, Pastor, this has already happened. It hasn't. Listen, verse 39. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Amen. God said, in the latter days, at the end of this thing, He said, I praise God. He said, I'm going to bust them up. He said, but then when it's all said and done, He said, when Messiah comes, I'm going to regather them together for the glory of God. Amen. By the time He gathers them together, they'll be ready to worship Him as the God of heaven. Amen. They're going to become believers in the power of the Most High God. They're looking for a Messiah, but they're not looking for the Messiah. The Messiah will come with power and great might in the latter days. And God said, I'll begin to bring in the captivity of Elam. Iran, praise God. Amen. I believe they probably some good people over there. They just don't know no better. Amen. If we could get rid of Ayatollahs and get rid of the controlling factor they have, so we could put a few missionaries in them, let them preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving of souls. Amen. How many of you youngins would like to go? Amen. Be a missionary in Iran. Amelia, you and Adam won't sign up. We'll support you. Send you over there and let you preach, praise God. Amen. Sing them songs of Zion for the glory of God. Now if you do that, they'll behead you. They'll cut your head off. They'll kill you. But God Almighty has power and influence. And God has made promises in His precious Word. Prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. We're seeing it. This excites me. You're looking at me like a sheep looking at a new gate. You're like, Pastor Jeff, I just don't see all this. Amen. It's God's Word. Amen. It's happening right in front of our face. The promises are being fulfilled. Remember, God made an ultimate promise to the nation of Israel. In particular, they made an ultimate promise to a man named Moses. When He brought them out of Egypt, praise God, and He promised them a land. Remember that? Look over Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Amen? Praise God. God's got a plan. Deuteronomy chapter 33, in verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. And Moses is talking to the people. He said, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He's talking about that power of God to bring Israel through, to protect Israel, to be that place of protection, that place of comfort, that place of refuge. Eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall trust unto the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. He said, Israel, those places that Moses said was waste, howling wilderness, have become fertile plains in the nation of Israel. They figured out a little system called a drip irrigation. Amen? And in those waste, howling wilderness, we got to see it with our own eyes. They go through there with it's nothing but sand and dirt and rocks. And they go through there with tractors, with rock rakes. And they would drag those through those places. And in a little, they had a field cleared. And they go in there and they'd lay off rows, and they put underground pipes with little holes in them. And then they would plant their crops, and they would turn that water on and go down through there, and that drip irrigation system began to water them. And out of the desert, praise God, it began to bloom like a rose. Just exactly what God, we've got to see. I've got to see that with my eyes. My God is an awesome God. My God is a true God. Amen. He's a true in every essence of His being. Praise the Lord. He says this, verse 39. He said, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee? Watch this. O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? That's an exclamation mark. Because we know that's God. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Amen. In other words, he said, ain't going to have no place to hide. Praise God. God's going to find them out. He said, be sure your sin will find you out. And God will come to where you sin, where your sin is, praise God, He'll drive it out. Bless His holy name. So we see the power that we have and we see the promise that God made to take and protect His people. But He's not finished. In verse 34, now Moses is finishing this thing out. He's laying out to the people the prophecy of what's going to take place in the end. And in Deuteronomy chapter 34, the last chapter of this book, he begins to lay out the promises of God. It said, Moses went up from the plains of Moab under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. I mean, you know, this is Pisgah right here. Amen. Glory to God. I think about that all the time, Brother Bobby. Every time I come up here, I think, could this be today? Amen. Pray God from the top of Pisgah. The Lord say, come away, my beloved. And I'd like to be in board just worshiping God, praising Him, the Holy Spirit of God all over us. And all of a sudden, praise God, these walls just burst open. Praise God, and He takes us on out of here to be with Him. Pray, go right across the top of Mount Pisgah. He said, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land from of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zor. Sounds like me, the whole realm, the whole thing. Amen. You know why Israel has failed for so many years? Because they haven't believed God. And where God would do His magnificent work in Samaria and Judea, praise God, they've neglected those lands. They've called them, they've bought them, they've brought them back, they fought them back, and then they've handed them back over to the enemy. Years after years, praise God, because they didn't want to fall under responsibility of what God had put them responsible for. If we ain't careful, we do the same thing in our Christian lives. Amen. But He said He lays it out, and He shows Moses the whole land. And the Lord said unto him, verse number 4, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed, and have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Amen. Why? Because remember, Moses smote the rock twice, and God smote him, smite it once. The Savior won't be smitten but one time. And because of that, Moses, he said, you're not going to get to go over into the promised land. But he said, I'm going to take you up to Mount Pisgah, which is over against Jericho, and I'm going to let you look out, and I'm going to sit from there. He said, I'm going to let you see the whole thing. Everything that I've made a promise to you that'd be yours, I'm going to let you see it. And so the first five, said, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Amen. Verse 6, and said, he buried him, it's God, buried Moses. And said, so he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulture unto this day. Man, he took him over there, let him see it. And then God let him die, and God buried him. Amen. He said, yeah, I'm going to let you see everything that I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to let you see the whole thing, the whole land, from the river to the sea. Amen? Let you see it. But you can't go over. But now watch this. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, neither his natural force abated. He could still see good. He still had strength. But God says, Moses, your time's up. Amen? You're finished. You've done what I needed you to do. It's time to go home. Amen. Praise God. It said, the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So days of weeping and of mourning till Moses were ended. Amen. So we see the thing come full circle. The promises that God made, how God fulfilled those promises. It's all prophecy. It's all Bible. It's all being fulfilled before our eyes, church. Amen. Open our eyes and see. that the Lord is good. And He's truthful. He is truth. You can believe Him. You can trust in Him. We can rely on Him when you can't trust nothing else. We can't trust the doctors. Amen. We can't trust the physicians. We can't trust the psychologists. We can't even trust our friends all the time. Sometimes you can't even trust your own family. Not that they mean to let us down or deceive us. They just do. Because they just can't come through for us. But God never fails. God never fails. God never will fail when we put our faith and trust in Him. How can we know? Because we have His Word. Have His Word on it. God won't renege on His Word. His Word is absolute truth, absolutely. Praise God. And we have it in the volume of the book of Him. He tells us tonight. He shows us these prophecies. Amen. Here a little and there a little. So that we can put it together and know that Jesus is coming soon. Amen.